Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is the post-postgame podcast. Jeff Williams, Kevin Lonquist, after the Bearcats get a 42-0 win tonight in the penultimate game of district action against the Joshua Owls. Joshua Owls at 1-7 coming in. They go out at 1-8. Bearcats, meantime, now 8-1 overall, and now their 90th consecutive district victory dating back to October of 2007. Again, Jeff Williams, Kevin Lonquist. Very workmanlike here tonight. It was an interesting ball game. Bearcats led it after the first half by the count of 35-0, Kevin. And we've kind of seen this before. Out of those 24 minutes, Alito had the ball for 3 minutes and 33 seconds. How do they do it?
this explosive offense just kind of shows you what it can do, and it doesn't matter where it's on the field. And when you've got extraordinary playmakers like JoJo Earl and Monty Parks, we've seen them so many times. And the amazing thing about this is the fact that they're really doing this by running back by committee. Jeremiah James did go over 100 yards tonight, the junior running back who they called up earlier in the season. He's getting some really good reps, but really these are the two most difficult wide receivers to cover. I'm going to say in the state of Texas because I don't know of a better one to. Of course, I don't know all these teams across the state like some people do, but it's a really good 1-2 punch, and there's just not enough defensive secondary unless you've just got a ball-hawking secondary with your own Division I recruits back there to stop them. I don't know who really has the capability of shutting those guys down.
Yeah, and they in the first half, and really the key to all that is that Jake Bishop has been insanely accurate. First half tonight, 10 for 10, 4 touchdown passes to 4 different receivers. Got Kate Jones in on the mix tonight as well. Money ended up, he scored the first touchdown. But right now, it's tougher, I guess. Things would be easier if Jace McClellan were there. But Jake Bishop is just having a freakish year. 81% of his passes tonight coming in at 78. He's almost completing 4 out of every 5. He is at now 29 touchdown passes, 1 interception, which was a tip ball that popped 15 feet in the air and was caught. He's just having a phenomenal year.
That's the sad thing about it is that it's kind of getting overshadowed because of the talent on the field with Money and with JoJo. And usually when you're talking about offenses, you're going to talk about it's going to start with the quarterback. But because Money committed to Utah and JoJo, who's getting some serious Division I offers, most recently from Ohio State a few weeks ago, when you're getting that kind of attention, that's the only issue. Jake just isn't a Division I P5 candidate, if you will, a scholarship type of player. But he's having such a phenomenal season, and that's kind of the shame of it. But the thing about Jake, and we've talked about this throughout the course of the season, Jeff, is the fact that how precise he is. He knows the communication with the right wide receivers. You can see why you're throwing hundreds of balls basically from January through the start of fall camp in August because it can lead to what we see.
Tonight, defensively, Bearcats get the shutout pitched at them. But I will say the Owls were, they converted a lot of third downs tonight, and Coach talked about it afterward, kind of a little bit of a bend but don't break. Now, they didn't bend a bunch because they only had 175, 80 yards total offense, but they were efficient on third down tries. But the Bearcats, you pitch a shutout, you've done, so I don't care who you're playing, and this is a team that struggled, but they are not without talent on the other, the Owls are not without talent. They themselves have a couple of wide receivers that are pretty solid, too. They're kids that could probably play here, I would think.
Yeah, Noah Smith is an interesting player. Tall drink of water, about 6'4", or 6'3", 6'4". I mean, he's a guy that had showed some interesting skills. And then we saw, Tyler Stone do a couple things, Levi Garrett. I mean, and here's the thing, Smith is a junior for them, as is Stone. So, maybe that's something that Gary Robinson can point to as he's trying to build this program. You just got to get kids that are going to be committed to the process and see if Joshua will ever, you hate to say it like this, but the reality is that Joshua's program is just one of the worst in the state of Texas in history, and they've got to try and
their history is one among the worst, certainly.
Yeah. So when you're trying to build something that has absolutely no tradition to it and trying to establish something, that is a gargantuan task in itself. I mean, my hat's off to Gary Robinson for taking a crack at trying to fix this.
Yeah, as I mentioned, in the history of their school, only three postseason appearances. They've had 23 consecutive losing seasons. They last time they were in the playoffs was in 1996. They actually won a game, defeated Ennis. But then prior to that, it was 1970 when they were a Class A school, and then 1952 when they were Class B. And I mentioned in the intro to the game that that was a game in which I don't think Class B did a state championship necessarily, because their season ended at 11-0-1, and I know they won the game technically on penetrations against the Mighty Mites. It was the Masonic home team, which is right now that movie, The 12 Mighty Orphans, is being filmed at the Pythian home in Weatherford right now. So kind of a little interesting current events tie in there. But 3 years, three times in 69 years, 67 years, 68 seasons actually, is all they've been to the playoffs. And once they've gotten there, they actually always won the bi-district game. But, you know, that's the whole community. You got people that in that community that have lived through all of that, probably played for, you know, grandfathers and all that. It takes some time and some work to flip that mentality. You know, like I said, 23 consecutive losing seasons, and the most wins they've had in those three times they've won four games, and it's all in a ton of 0-10s.
Yeah, and the interesting phenomena in football is how it's weird how every single extraneous factor to a football program, the commitment from like administration or the community, when you that has to be with you. Because if it's not with you, then you can't. For whatever reason, it seems to be more prevalent with a football team than it does with a baseball team or a basketball team. For whatever reason, it's because probably it is Texas high school football, and everyone rallies around it, and there's so much focus.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, all that stuff. And I think that's the reason why there's always that phenomena of why everything must be in one. And that's the thing that Joshua doesn't have.
Well, at least I know what Gary Robinson's done. This is a guy that had been a head coach, I think, for 5 years or 6 years at other schools. He'd always gone to the playoffs. He's bringing what he knows, and you know they're well coached. They only had two penalties tonight, and they only had one turnover tonight. So they are fundamentally sound now. Got to get that strength and conditioning program really rolling. That's not something you do in a year or two. That's going to start with your seventh and eighth graders. So it's going to take some time, but hats off to them, because, like I said, you can tell they're well coached because they're not just throwing the ball all over the place, and they're not turning it over. So, Aledo with the win tonight does clinch the number one seed from 5-5A, Division II. So they will have a home game here in the first round of the playoffs. They still have a little matter of taking care of Seguin next week. That will be at Wildman Stadium. That's on the campus of Sam Houston. Over in East Arlington. And once beyond that, it'll either be, I think the Deacon said, Seagoville or Kimball. It'll be a DISD district game. Seagoville's not, I don't think, technically DISD, but a team from the Dallas, greater Dallas metro area.
And if you are, and real quickly, and if you are an Aledo avid follower and you know their history, you know that they'll, without fail, they'll find every way they possibly can to play that bi-district game on a Thursday night.
Yeah, yep. Because they know. You know, and the opposing coaches in those situations also know probably not winning this one. So, you know, and so they'll kind of do a favor. So that gives Aledo chance to win and then have extra time to prepare for that second round playoff game, which may or may not be any tougher. So
Sure. Anyway,
that's what's coming up. It'll be 7 o'clock pregame show next week from Arlington. That'll be at Sam Houston High School against Arlington Seguin, Wildman Stadium, W-I-L-E-M-O-N, Wildman Stadium. And we'll have the kickoff, all the play-by-play. The kickoff's at 7:30, pregame at 7. Bearcats 90 straight in the district. They're now 8-1 overall and one game away from starting another six-game roll, hopefully, towards another state championship. Kevin?
Just real quickly, the fact that they were businesslike, you kind of like how they're doing. They're getting better. One thing about their defense, though, real quickly for the Bearcats, is that they still can be a little bit susceptible on the run, some things that they're going to have to work on, though. So those are things that they have to keep working on. Now, they're not going to get pushed probably for the next 2 or 3 weeks, but, again, as you get deeper, better teams are going to try and exploit that. So the Bearcats challenge, the coaching staff's challenge is, how do we try and limit – how teams have been kind of inflicting, you know, some things against us in the running game.
All right, that's a wrap. Another edition of the post-postgame podcast. Bearcats win 42-0. It is Arlington Seguin next week. We'll talk to you at that point. Good night, everybody.